Our reading is Hosea chapter 11. At the head of the chapter, you see the heading, God's continuing love for Israel. Hosea 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to carved images. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, and they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to repent. And the sword shall slash in their cities, devour his districts, consume them, because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me, though they call to me the Most High. None at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zebulun? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his son shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like a bird from Egypt, like a dove from the land of Assyria, and I will let them dwell in their houses, says the Lord. Ephraim has encircled me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah still walks with God, even with the Holy One who is faithful. Well, our message for today has been enjoying God. And tonight we ask the question, how? How do you enjoy God? Now, in one sentence, Hebrews 12, verse 2, we could say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The Christian life is Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Paul wrote those words when he was in prison. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, how do we do that? Well, we find him in his word. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. They are the joy of my heart. The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. Spurgeon was criticized on one occasion for finding Christ in the Old Testament, where others felt he shouldn't be finding him. And his reply was, I'd rather find him where he isn't than miss him where he is. You enjoy God when your thoughts and your mind is taken up with him. So you find him in his word. You also find him in his house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You enjoy God when you truly worship him among his people. Religion that is not heartfelt, religion that knows nothing of the affection of Christ, is lifeless. It's dead. So fix your eyes upon Jesus. You find him in his word. You find him in his house. And you find him among his people. Those who fear the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. In the prayer meeting just a short time ago, reference was made to the two on the Emmaus road, and Jesus drew near to them as they talked about him. And they then said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way? Would you know more of the burning heart? Well, talk among yourselves about him. You can talk about many things. You can talk about the church and its activities. It's good. But make time in your conversations with each other to talk about him. I remember taking Andrew Macbeth home from the Tent Hall in Glasgow one Saturday night. And I was in the driving seat, he sat in the passenger seat, and as I sat down, he turned to me and he says, now, Alan, what's the Lord been saying to you today? Now, he wasn't trying to be clever. That was just natural for Mr. Macbeth. He wanted to talk about the Lord as we travelled home. Talk to each other about him. And then I would add this. Find him also in the hard times. Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. And you can enjoy God in the storm as well as in the sunshine when you fix your eyes on Jesus. Indeed, James exhorts, count it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And if you read on in James, the reason he gives, if you read the verses, is because in your trials, God has a purpose. His purposes will ripen fast. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy, and shall break in blessing on your head. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Think of Jesus, who for the joy that lay before him, endured the cross. There was a purpose in it, and it gave him joy. And in our hard trials, we look to Jesus. We'll be reminded that there's a purpose in it. His chastisements are always, always for our good. So would you enjoy God? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, perhaps you're searching, let me say this. How can you enjoy God? Well, you start here by having a second birth. a spiritual birth. To enjoy God, you must be born again. Now, all Christians have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives you a new life. Becoming a Christian is not turning over a new leaf. It's not making a fresh start. It is receiving a new life. As I said this morning, with the new life comes a new nature. With a new nature comes new desires and a new lifestyle. You are a new person, a new creation, and you are delivered from the love of sin. And your desires are then set upon the Lord Jesus. You have new delights and new enjoyments, and you enjoy inward peace and the knowledge of sins forgiven. Reconciled to God, everything appears different. So you enjoy God by being born of the Spirit. Now here's an interesting thing. Scripture regularly joins together the Holy Spirit and joy. For example, in Luke 21, Luke speaks of Jesus being filled with joy through the Holy Spirit. Weymouth translates it, was filled with rapturous joy. And then again, the coming of the Holy Spirit is accompanied by much joy. On the day of Pentecost, the people looking on thought the disciples were drunk. They were obviously merry. But it wasn't because of alcohol. It was because it was the joy of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And you know Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, as already noted, joy and hardship can exist side by side. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are persecuted. They are literally driven out of a city. In verse 52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." It was a God-given joy. Now, if you have no joy, you do not have the religion of the New Testament. Is God your chief delight? You will only enjoy God if you are born of His Spirit. If you cannot enjoy God, you are not born of His Spirit. And if you are not born of His Spirit, you are none of His. You are not a Christian. And if that's where you find yourself this evening, I would exhort you to go to Calvary and stay at Calvary until you are overwhelmed by His love. Amazing love, unfathomable love. Paul said he loved me and he gave himself for me. Stay there till you have that testimony. It was for me he died and suffered thus. Now this brings me to this third thought. Would you enjoy God? Look to Jesus. Have a new birth. And then thirdly, meditate on God's love. Now the book of Hosea pictures a grieving, loving husband. It's a parable. All books are parable. It is God yearning for the return of his unfaithful wife. And in chapter 11, you can but wonder at God's love for his people. How can he go on loving them? They've rejected him. They've worshipped other gods. They have a divided heart. And they refuse to repent. Verses 1 to 7. And then you come to verse 8. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart recoils within me. All my compassion is aroused. Now, this is the language of a lover. He goes on loving them. Now, why? The answer's in verse 9. For I am God and not a man. You see, God's love can be relied upon. Paul throws out this challenge in Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he concludes, nothing in all creation. And there's nowhere else. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Now isn't that a great comforting thought for the Christian? Nothing, if you are the Lord, can separate you from his love. Nothing. His is a constant love, and his is an everlasting love. And to be born of God is to love him. To look to Christ is to love him. And when we love him, he will never disappoint. You enjoy him when you love him. Therefore, delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, for grace to love him more, was the prayer of one believer. To this end he prayed, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. And he prayed this prayer for some time. And then he began to realize his love for God was so poor because his appreciation of his own sinfulness was so weak. So then he began to pray. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me. And as he did so, he got fresh glimpses of the wonder of God's grace. God loves me. Me, the sinner. God loved me when there was nothing lovely in me to live. In my flesh, there dwells no good things. So here is a love without boundaries. A love without a bottom. Deep, vast, immense, unfathomed, profound. Here is love vast as the ocean. Truly we love him, because he first loved us. But he didn't stop there. Then he further realized he would not begin to appreciate the sinfulness of his own heart until he had some awareness, no matter how small, of the transcendent majesty and moral purity of God. And this brings me to the next answer to how question. How are you to enjoy God above all else? Look into Jesus by being born of God, by loving him, and then by holy living. God is holy. You cannot enjoy God and sin at the same time. Holiness tells of God's separateness, his otherness. It is all that distinguishes God from the rest of his creation. Holiness in God also tells of his moral excellency, his moral purity. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There isn't an iota of impurity in God. He is morally excellent, ethically perfect. Now, in the Hebrew language, Hebrew uses repetition for emphasis. And God is spoken of as holy, holy, holy. It is the only attribute of God that is referred to in that threefold way. Holy, holy, holy. It raises his holiness to the highest possible level. It is the outshining of all that he is. Every attribute of God is holy. His power, his wisdom, his wrath, his grace, etc. All his attributes are holy. God is holy. You cannot enjoy God and sin at the same time. God hates sin. God cannot look upon sin. And God punishes sin. And if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, that is sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. When you were born of God, Spirit, you became a partaker of his holiness. The Spirit is spoken of as the Holy Spirit. Holiness means avoiding all sinful practices. The love of the world and the love of God are like scales. As one goes up, the other comes down. What draws you nearer to God? What robs you of his presence? John Piper, in Seeing and Savoring Christ, has a prayer at the end of each chapter. And here are a few snippets from those prayers. Wean us from our obsession with trivial things. Forgive the wanderings of our affections and the undue attention we give to lesser things. break our addiction to the world. Saturate our souls with the Spirit of Christ and all his greatness. Enlarge our capacities to be satisfied in all that you are for us in him. Now, when I was writing these down in these notes, I stopped and I said, "That this is all very interesting. But how often do I pray like this? You enjoy God through holy living. What are you living for? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, I add one last answer to the question how, and it's this: live for his glory. You enjoy God above all else when you live for his glory. The seventh question in the Shorter Catechism asks, why is the glorifying of God and the enjoyment of God joined together as the chief end of man? And the answer, because God hath inseparably joined them together, so that man cannot truly desire and seek the one without the other. Now, there is a twofold glory of God. There is the glory that God has in himself. What the light is to the sun, glory is to God. He cannot be God without it. Now, you cannot add to God's glory. You and I cannot make him more glorious. And his glory he will not give to another. The Bible tells us that all spiritual blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. But his glory? No. And then there is the glory we seek to give him, the glory worthy of his name, the honour of his name. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, life is a mosaic of events. Some of you went home this morning to make the dinner. Others perhaps did the washing up. These are all small events. Billy Graham's wife had a plaque over the sink which read, "Divine worship takes place here 3 times daily. Living for God's glory is something that is very practical. Now, I was reading Jeremy Bridges' book on holiness. I came across this example, and I was quite challenged by it. He tells of going into a bakery. He and his wife had a coupon, 2 for the price of 1. His wife handed 2 loaves with the coupon to the assistant. "I'm sorry," said the assistant, "this coupon is only valid in the new store we have opened." Now, there was nothing on the coupon to say this. His wife replied, "Well, just give me 1 loaf, and she paid for it. And the assistant said, "You people are nice to me. People have been angry with me all day over this coupon deal. You did not get angry." And what struck me was this: as Christians, you are never off duty, even when you're buying a loaf of bread. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You enjoy God and you glorify God when you reflect his glory. So how are you to delight yourself in the Lord? By fixing your eyes on Jesus, by being born of his Spirit, by loving him above all else, by holy living, and by living for his glory. This week, take your eyes off yourself and what is happening around you, and look up. And like the psalmist in Psalm 73, be taken up with God. And you will view everything differently. And you will enjoy God. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you the desires of your heart.